Pat Murphy sound?
Well, that's a really smart question. That's what we talk about in meetings.
All right. Good to hear, Murph. I didn't realize that we had some old Murph sound.
Didn't realize he sounded like that.
Pat Murphy or Mike Socia?
Pat Murphy.
Dude, are you nominating Pat Murphy?
Welcome to the Darren Smith Show.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back.
Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Ooh, yeah. Now, here's Darren.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
Hey there! Greetings to you. It is a Wednesday, 13th day of October, 2021. Good afternoon, San Diego. I am Darren Smith. You are listening to Extra 1360. Find us at AM 1360. Find us on HD Radio at 101.5. Channel number 2, KGB2. You can find us in certain corners around San Diego County at 103.3. You can also listen to us wherever, whenever, however you would like via the iHeartRadio app. Give it a listen there. You can subscribe to the show, auto-download it each and every day. Listen, we love it if you listen to 3 straight hours, Monday through Friday, but let's be real. People who work on the show don't even do that, so we're not going to expect listeners to do that. But if you want to catch up on what you might have missed, the iHeartRadio app is the best way to do that. Listen wherever, whenever, however. SportsSD.com, that's our website. And we all have smart speakers these days, whether they're coming through our mobile devices, whether they're connected in our homes. Maybe it's Siri, maybe it's Alexa. If you ask, they can stream the show, and you can listen whenever you'd like. 3 hours. 3 hours today. Take you up until John and Rich here in a little bit. Got a packed show. J.D. Wicker, John David Wicker, athletic director. San Diego State University is going to talk to us about San Diego State's football stadium. Ticket pricing is being announced today. I don't know what details are or aren't available. I know that J.D. Wicker will be able to talk about this coming up in about 30 minutes or so. Some tickets have already been sold. People got ahead of the game, longtime season ticket members, etc. But for the general public, there will be an announcement. If it's not been made already, it'll probably be made sometime between now and the bottom of the hour. I will admit, I looked over this chart. I looked over the seating chart, and I'm thoroughly confused. I'm colorblind, so I can't even tell the different colors of the sections or what the pricing is. So it's going to require a little bit more visual presentation for me, just for my own personal situation here. But J.D. Wicker will be here with some details. Maybe John David Wicker will also talk to us a little bit about that SEC opponent that he was teasing us with last time. Is it Mississippi State, J.D.? Is it Tennessee? Is it Vanderbilt? Who is it? J.D. Wicker will be here coming up at the bottom of the hour. I also would tell you, too, and I haven't mentioned this over the first couple of days, of this work week, that I did go to Q2 Stadium in Austin, Texas. That's where I was last Thursday. I was out last Thursday, Friday. I went, for the very first time ever in my life, I went to a World Cup qualifier. The U.S. men's national team was playing in Austin, Texas against Jamaica. Won 2-0 against Jamaica. They won 2-0 against Jamaica. I haven't even talked about the complete failure of what happened in Panama over the weekend, because it was just gross watching that game. The squad rotation, etc. But at any rate, the stadium that I went to, Q2 Stadium in Austin, Texas, that is where Austin FC, Austin Football Club plays. That's an MLS franchise that is there, that is in Austin. It's hosted 3 different U.S. soccer events up until this point. This was the first time I had a chance to be there. It was constructed by a design and architecture firm called Gensler, I want to say, G-E-N-S-L-E-R, Gensler, I believe. What a stadium. What a stadium that was. Oh, by the way, Gensler is also the architecture and design firm that is constructing San Diego State's football stadium. So, I mean, if it's going to be anything like that, man, can't wait. And I don't think we've mentioned that on the show, because I was still, gross taste in my mouth from what happened in Panama City over the weekend. Thankfully, there's a World Cup qualifier tonight against Costa Rica to close out this window. And it better be 3 points, otherwise Triple G Greg Berhalter. Ugh, don't like that at all. So J.D. Wicker will be here coming up hour number 2. Ken Belson will be here. He's a reporter with the New York Times. He was the reporter for the piece that ended John Gruden. He co-authored that piece where they had all of the details about many more emails than the one about Demora Smith, who's the head of the players union. So we'll talk to Ken Belson coming up hour number 2. I swear that story has got... There's so many twists and turns to that story and what it actually is, because people keep asking this question, including me. Like, how? Why? Why is this landed on John Gruden. Although last night it also landed on Adam Schefter, didn't it? We'll get into that. But this is part of a story involving Washington football team ownership suing some media company in India. And these emails were put out there for purposes of making the case that Dan Snyder and his minority owners are trying to slander one another in an attempt to, it's very bizarre. It's very confusing, but the story isn't somebody woke up and said, hey, let's ruin John Gruden. John Gruden is very much, as much as you'd say, like there's no way out for John Gruden, but he is collateral damage in this story because the story is about much more than John Gruden emailing homophobic and racist things to buddies of his who are on a group email. Like that's not even really what the story is. It's just what the story is focused on, at least for a day. But who knows what's next? There's like 650,000 emails left for people to pore over that the NFL has. So who knows what's going to happen next? John Gruden's had a terrible week. Adam Schefter, I think, has had a bad couple of days, although he's just tweeting right through it. He's just tweeting injury updates. Like nothing happened with Adam Schefter. But Ken Belson will be here coming up in hour number two. And in hour number three, here to celebrate the Atlanta Braves winning the NLDS series against the Milwaukee Brewers. Third base coach Ron Washington will join us coming up in hour number three to talk only about the Braves and Freddie Freeman advancing against the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't know what else we're going to talk about, but since we would guess a lot of people are probably pulling for Atlanta, we're going to talk to Ron Washington about that exciting series coming up in hour number three. If you can think of any other angles that we could talk to Ron Washington about, we're all ears today. 70470, first word of the text, XTRA. I have an idea for the show. It is October 13th, and our audience is going to have to trust us. So our audience is going to have to trust us on this, that we are going to be on the level with it. But we say good afternoon to Jim.
Put Tim on the mic.
This is Jim.
We say good afternoon to Marty.
What?
Martha, what's going on?
I think what we ought to do is we all ought to write down a name on a piece of paper who we think today is going to be the next manager of the San Diego Padres. We ought to write it down on a piece of paper, not share it with one another, put it in a sealed envelope, give it to somebody in this building who we trust, and then when the Padres announce a manager, we will open the envelope and we will see what it was that we guessed on October 13th. Is anybody in for that game? Does that sound like something that we want to participate in
today? I love
that
game.
Okay. Okay, here's my question because I can't make it easy. What time is this due by? Can my submission come at 2:17 p.m.?
Yeah, by the end of the show today. I'm ready to write mine on a piece of paper right now. I'm ready to write mine on a piece of paper right now and put it in the envelope.
Right now?
Yes.
Okay.
You hear something?
I would like a small little teaser. Was that
That's
name?
Not fair.
Did that name appear on?
Well,
on
Marty's
Jim Bowden's...
got sources too.
Yeah,
she's got great sources.
Yeah. Did the name appear on Jim Bowden's list? Do we need to go ahead? Do I need to go
what
back?
Name?
Your guess.
I'm not gonna. Why would I share that sort of stuff?
Well, there was. Listen, he had 12 names. It's a yes or no question. Are you gonna pass?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Of course.
Fine.
Nor
okay,
am
fine.
I going to comment. I mean, how about Bob Nightingale's list today?
Okay.
So that was a list.
What did I miss in the list?
Yeah. Bob Nightingale had a list that I thought was very interesting.
Okay.
He said, the Padres are finalizing a list of managerial candidates to interview, but names already being discussed internally include Bruce Bochy, Buck Showalter, Jeff Banister, John Gibbons, Ron Renicky, John Farrell, and Brad Ausmus.
Ron Renicky, Brad Ausmus.
Yeah. B-Rad Ausmus. Huh. Brad Ausmus.
Okay.
Most recently with the Los Angeles Angels.
That lasted like 1 year, didn't it?
It did not last long.
No, did not last long.
Did not last long. But did you know that Brad Ausmus lives here?
Is that the requirement?
You know, he's often seen with his shirt off around the beaches in North County.
Okay.
Surfing.
Is that also a requirement?
Well, if you're trying to up your female attendance, you know, that could go a long ways into boosting female attendance at Petco Park.
Okay.
The ladies seem to like B-Rad
sure.
Ausmus.
Sure, I was very popular when he was the Padres catcher.
Very popular. Remains popular today, certainly with the women who are in my sewing circle. So that's
Is he the hot guy?
He is a hot guy, and I don't know that he's the hot guy candidate for manager, But he a lot of people think Brad Ausmus is the hot guy. He's definitely he's earned permanent hot guy status.
Small, very smart guy, well educated, a catcher, and everyone thinks that, you know, the former catchers make oftentimes make the best, you know, future managers.
Correct.
Which is something that Jim Bowden brought up yesterday when he mentioned that his can't miss prospects, David Ross, who I believe is getting extension with the Cubs, and then AJ Ellis, right? Who's an assistant, I think, with the Padres still.
I'm just saying, I'm ready to write Ian Kinsler on a piece of paper right
now. Are you serious?
No, I'm not. That actually would not be the name. Although I think you might hear his name. I'm just telling you, I think you might hear his name.
All right, I'll ask this. Is the name that you're thinking of a name that we've mentioned on this show already?
It is not.
Oh, what the? Wow.
Not the name. All right, I've got it. I'm ready to announce it right now.
Go ahead.
AJ Preller.
That's a good one.
I will not either confirm nor deny that. I've given you guys as much as I'm willing to give you.
Screw it. I'll do it myself.
The GM, the manager, and the president of baseball
and
ops.
And scout. And the farm director.
He'd like to be. I think he would really like to be. And, you know, that's a good segue into the term I think that you're... I predict that you will hear a term over this search. That, and I will say this about the search. I will say this, and you know, we don't know that Ron Washington, who's going to join us a little later. The Union Tribune reported yesterday. Kevin Acey said, according to two sources, they were not sure that Ron Washington was going to be on the list of people to be interviewed. I will say this though, and you know, this much I feel safe in saying on radio. This will be an actual search for a manager, unlike the last cycle through, which was not,
which was fixed.
The fix was in. Now, okay. Could something crazy have happened last minute? Could somebody have just blown everybody's doors off and somebody had passed and moved ahead of Jace Tingler? Sure. But I think we're all smart enough to know now that the fix was in on Jace Tingler.
Right.
He had the inside track from Jump Street. This is the way that AJ Preller wanted to go with his manager hire. And everybody else sort of sensed that that was coming as well. Ron Washington was one of the finalists for that job. And maybe there was consideration given, like serious consideration given to Ron Washington, the merits of having somebody with experience versus somebody who's a relative no-name. Yeah. That had to have been a conversation. But everybody seems to be in agreement that that was not so much a real managerial search and that it started with a heavy favorite and it ended with that favorite getting the job. Does that sound right? Does that sound accurate? I know people are fact-checking my accuracy around here on podcasts that I've never even heard of.
Oh,
but we'll save that for some other segment a little later on in the show. But would we all agree that that's sort of the way it played out?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, it started that you know, people that were here, who were working here, they would tell you that they heard the name. And I never heard the name Jace Tingler before Dennis Leonard started reporting on it. And then you had to start asking around, who is he? Who is Jace Tingler? And we learned a lot about Jace Tingler. And frankly, I still find him to be a very likable guy. He's a guy I was rooting for, a guy who I was rooting for to keep his job. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, it didn't happen. But that's that search. That search started with Jace Tingler's going to be the next manager unless something completely unforeseen happens here during this process. And I do get the sense that this is going to be much more open. I don't know that it starts with the type of a head start that Jace Tingler had in 2019. So, you know, I do think that, hey, you might hear Ron Ronicky run through here. You might hear Jeff Banister mm-hmm. run through here. You might hear some of these other names run through here. And it, you know, doesn't mean that, you know, everybody's on equal footing. It's like, let's be thorough. Let's also think that we also might have to replace an entire coaching staff in the process. So, you know, some of these guys might be considered for coaching. Some of these guys might be considered for manager, for coaching, et cetera. Like, there's a lot of places. There are a lot of job openings here in San Diego. But I do think like one thing that'll be different about this previous one, about what happened 2 years ago, is you know, nobody's coming into this just a lap ahead of everybody else, and everybody else is playing for second. Mm-hmm. Everybody else might be playing for bench coach in that situation. Mm-hmm. Like that's not this. So, you know, yeah, all names can be tossed into the hopper. All names can. You know, I know that the name Bruce Bochy, I know that the name Buck Showalter, like these are popular names. We had a conversation yesterday, hour number three of the show. A lot of people chimed in on that, and that was with Jim Bowden. You know, Jim Bowden presented his idea, which was bring in somebody who knows how to win. Like, as if to suggest that you're going to bring in somebody who's going to teach these guys how to win. I don't know that that's going to happen around here. I don't know that that's going to happen. The word that I think you'll hear a lot from the people who report on these is alignment. That's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear about alignment, Padre alignment. Alignment from the president of baseball operations through the general manager, if there is one. President, general manager, alignment. Into the manager's office, into the clubhouse, in through the coaching staff as well, all the way up and down the organization. Alignment. And
alignment.
The example that was given was, when you look at the two teams that you're trying to chase right now, 107 and 106 wins, what do they have? They have alignment. You have alignment from Farhan Zaidi right there through Gabe Kapler into the coaching staff and expanded coaching staff into the players bought in, et cetera.
Oh, okay.
What you have with the Dodgers is you have Andrew Friedman, who I think is operating without a general manager right now, but there is alignment with him, that front office, that coaching staff, not a ton of turnover, got buy-in from players inside of the clubhouse. What you didn't have here certainly over the last couple of months, was alignment. There was a lot of things that were misaligned around the San Diego Padres. Alignment is what they're seeking. Bringing somebody in to go, well, let me teach you, AJ Preller, how this is done. I don't know. I don't know that that's going to happen. Now, you still could end up with one of these big names. Maybe Bruce Bochy really does want to live in his Poway home. Maybe Bruce Bochy really does want to come back and consider it unfinished business. But it's not going to be for the sake of bringing in a big name. It's not going to be for the sake of bringing in somebody who's going to teach everybody how to win. I just don't sense that that's the way it's going to go around here. I do think that term alignment is one that they're looking at with the two teams that you have to try to take down in this division. You try to get into the postseason somehow, and you're not going to be able to do it unless you have alignment from the top, from the president's office, through the manager's office, through the coaching staff, and into that clubhouse as well. So, you know, again.
Is the name you're thinking of a former manager?
I've gone as far as I'm going to go.
Dang it.
One. Yeah, like I said, I think we write these down, we put it on a piece of paper, put it in an envelope. Who do we trust in this building that will hold these? Cliff Albert?
Yes.
He's like a real news guy. He got real journalism.
If Jack was standards. Here, I would say we'd give it to Jack.
Yeah, we could give it to Jack. I can give it to Jack on Sunday. I'll see him at Torero Stadium.
No. I don't.
We have to seal it.
No, we got
to
seal it. We all have our own envelopes. We write our names on it. Tim?
No, one envelope.
One envelope.
One envelope. Put the names in the envelope. Seal it tight.
Not sharing them with each other.
No.
No. Okay. I don't like this at all.
You don't like this at all?
I love this game. I can't wait.
Yeah, we don't have to share it. Now, again, over the span of the next several weeks, these names might pop up. But we are bound to secrecy from the name that we put into the envelope today.
Okay.
And maybe we're 0 for 3.
There's a good chance. It's like our reverse best bets.
It's like a, wait, they hired who?
Well, right. I mean, imagine if we had played this game last time, how wrong we would have been.
Oh, so wrong.
Who did we all like? I know I liked Ron Washington last time.
I did too.
Me too.
We did?
I think we all did. I hope Ron Washington gets an interview.
I really hope. That report from AC is... it's eyebrow raising. He's not gonna get an interview. Anyway,
what name, real quick? But I didn't even see Nightingale's list. So what name did any name? And then there's kind of surprise you, like who, why?
No,
okay.
I don't think so. You?
No, I guess I'm not.
I'll read it again if you want.
Go ahead.
Bochy, mm-hmm. Buck Showalter, mm-hmm. Jeff Banister, mm-hmm. former Texas Rangers manager, John Gibbons. Mm.
Blue Jays.
Didn't Gibbons have... Am I confusing Gibbons with somebody else? Didn't he have a weird blip from his past? Didn't something happen? Somebody might want to look that up.
Okay.
Somebody might want to go to Wikipedia and look up Gibbons. I don't want to say anything about him. I don't mean anything nefarious. I mean, like, when there's some confusion about things that he said and actually
did. Like where he went to school or something like that?
Something like that. I don't... Anyway, people who have worked with Ron Renneke love Ron Renneke. I will tell you that. He's been with the Milwaukee Brewers. He's been a manager. He's been a coach. He comes from the Angels, as a matter of fact. Would have been on the same coaching staff, I believe, as Buddy Black.
Mm.
Under Mike Socia, Bud Black, Ron Renneke, and Joe Maddon. I believe that was the coaching staff that they had in Anaheim. And Brad Ausmus, B-Rad, handsome devil. So that's the Nightingale list from today.
Okay, here's a name.
I'd love to know those sitting around the offices and in the Padre offices when they see Nightingale put this out. They're like, what? Or if they're like, oh yeah, okay, wow, he's got sources.
Oh, he's like he's connected.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this name? How about this name that we have not mentioned on this show? I'm gonna look at you. You're gonna give me nothing, so I'm gonna try the body language. Ozzie Guillen. You're not I like flinching. That name. Oh, you like that name?
I do.
That's not the name that you're going to write down?
That is not the name I'm going to write down. And I'm not going to keep doing this. We're not going to name every human being.
We're trying.
We're not going to do that. We can wait until 217 if you want. We can wait till the end of the Ron Washington interview.
Yes.
I don't know what you think you're going to learn. You just interviewed Ron Washington a couple of weeks ago.
Darren, he is coming on the show to talk about advancing to the NLCS.
That's right.
Would you like me to line up any other third base coaches that are going to that are in the playoffs?
Can we get Bochy on to talk about fishing?
We could. We could talk about his fishing hole in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Where Bochy is spending a lot of time in Tennessee. Now I hear Bochy is a happy guy, a real happy guy living in Tennessee. Fishing, golfing, hanging around with the grandkids. Real happy guy.
Mm-hmm.
Did keep a house in Poway, though. You never know.
It's always good to keep a house in San Diego, though.
Always good. Always good to keep a home in San Diego. Real estate values, they don't ever really don't go down. They only go up. So it's a good investment. He's a smart guy, that Bruce Bochy. But those who know him, they say he's enjoying life, just living life. Living in Tennessee, close to family, golfing, fishing.
I'm doing this the wrong way. Let's see. Aaron Boone went straight from the ESPN booth to manager.
Correct.
So I need to figure out who's currently it's A-Rod, isn't it?
Oh my, that would be something.
Well, A-Rod is an NBA owner. So you think Preller would like to be
absolutely right.
Associated with somebody who's an Luca? NBA owner?
Sure. Wait, who's he an NBA owner for?
Timberwolves, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I don't think this is it.
Jim, you know who you're writing down?
I don't know yet.
You don't need to wait till 220?
I think I do need to wait till 220.
Okay. Well, that should be interesting.
I have a couple names, but I got to wait.
I'm rooting for Ron Washington.
People love that guy. They love him.
They do love that guy.
Absolutely love him.
I think the reaction towards Ron Washington from the fan base, I think, is a good one. Majority.
Yeah.
Like, if he got hired, I think a lot of people would be happy.
I also think that would, at least for what I know, would fit in with this idea of alignment. I think that you would be properly aligned. AC also reported that there are several players who have expressed to AJ Preller that they would love to play for Ron Washington.
But I thought, never mind.
What?
Nothing.
Okay. All right. No baseball tonight. Game 5 tomorrow. Dodgers, Giants. A dark night, dark, you know, in the sense of theater, like the theater's dark. No baseball tonight. So the U.S. men's national team has the stage to itself, unless there's some preseason basketball. And the hockey started last night. When we come back, J.D. Wicker, John David Wicker, San Diego State, is announcing its pricing for Aztec Football Stadium. We'll talk about coming up, best bets of the day, brought to you by Valley View Casino and Hotel. Hour number 2, Ken Belson will join us. He is a writer, reporter with the New York Times. He is the one that really, really dropped the bomb on John Gruden a couple of days ago. So we'll talk to Ken Belson about that. That was Monday. It feels like it was a lifetime ago. My goodness. Right now, though, we say hello to J.D. Wicker. John David Wicker is the athletic director at San Diego State University. SDSU football plays upcoming this Friday night at San Jose State. With a win, San Diego State joins pretty elite company there, 6-0, bowl eligible at the midway point of the 2021 season for the Aztecs. J.D., nice to chat with you. It's Darren, it's Marty, it's Jim. Thanks so much.
I really appreciate the time and glad to talk with all three of you.
Well, you guys have a game on Friday. I know sometimes television does this sort of stuff. Is that what it is, Friday night at San Jose State, just purely a product of the television schedule?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we renegotiated the contract with Fox and CBS, they put a certain number of mainly Fridays, a couple Thursdays into the contract that they're allowed to schedule. So it is what it is. I mean, it's kind of become a staple of all football, whether, you know, collegiate or professional, that you're going to play on. You know, it's not just Saturdays and Sundays and Mondays anymore.
And I mean, just speaking for myself, because, you know, I don't have much of a life outside of watching sports on television anyway, I kind of like it. It's a standalone night for you guys. There's no other top 25 team. There's no other team playing.
you know, there's maybe another game or two, but I don't mind it. What do you think about the idea that you got to play Friday nights?
Yeah, you know, I don't mind, you know, one or two a season. It definitely gives you an opportunity. You're going to be one of, you know, either the only or a handful of games collegiately that are played. So, you know, for the sports junkies, for your fan base, it's, you know, it's on TV. They get to see it, and it's, you know, on across the country. So you're typically going to do a pretty good number. And, you know, again, our goal is to build our brand nationally. So this definitely gives us that opportunity.
Yeah, it'll be on CBS Sports Network. It'll also be here on Extra 1360. Pretty nice. You can't do it any quicker than this. The idea that you can get to bowl eligibility on Friday night.
Yeah, that would be a huge one for us. It'll be, you know, 12 straight years. You know, Brady started the streak back when he was here the first time. Rocky did a great job continuing it, and now, you know, this will be Brady's second season. We were bowl eligible last year, and some, you know, just kind of how it worked out, we ended up not actually going to a bowl, but we were eligible, and so we're excited. This shows that, you know, we built a great program over time, and it's something where we feel like we're established and, you know, able to keep this going.
John David Wicker joining us on Extra 1360. J.D. Wicker is the athletic director at San Diego State University. I was just saying to Marty, to Jim, to the audience, I had a chance last week, J.D., to go to Austin, Texas, to go to Q2 Stadium to a World Cup qualifier in Austin. And Q2 Stadium, built by an architecture and design firm named Gensler, that is the firm that is building San Diego State's football stadium, correct?
Yep, Gensler, they designed the Q2 in Austin. They also designed Bank of California up in L.A. where LAFC plays. And Jonathan Emmett, who leads their sports practice, was, you know, spent a significant amount of time on ours as well as LAFC and Q2. So we're really excited about the design, and we think they knocked it out of the ballpark.
Yeah, well, I can tell you they knocked Q2 out of the ballpark, and I knew that they did Bank of California. I've been there a couple of the times too. They've crushed that one as well. So I feel like you're in pretty good hands. They're pretty competent people, not just because of those two sports facilities. Pretty impressive list of architecture and design around the world, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, they played a role up at Chase Center, where the Golden State Warriors play, as far as a, you know, an indoor arena. And, you know, you'll see a lot of elements out of LAFC that, you know, carry into our building. The nice thing about our building versus Bank of California is we're on a much bigger footprint, so it's going to allow us to do, you know, a lot of different things on the concourse that you may not be able to do at other places. So it is going to be an exciting building, a very experiential building, and, you know, we're excited that people are going to be able to build their game day experience when they come to the building.
And speaking of indoor facilities, just real quick, and I know that you guys are getting set to make an announcement today, if you haven't already, about season tickets being available for purchase coming up in January, but people can take a sneak peek at that coming up here before too long. Maybe you've been asked about this, JD. I'm sure you have, by somebody on the station or somebody around town. How about what Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, had to say about Viejas Arena when they were unveiling the rendering for the new Clippers facility in Inglewood? And he was referencing how great the environment was inside of Viejas Arena, and how even to the point now where it impacted some of their design ideas inside of the Clippers' new arena. That must have made you feel great.
Yeah, that was awesome to just kind of out of nowhere, as you mentioned, to get that piece of information, to have Mr. Ballmer come out and say those kind words. He had a great time when they came down for Kawhi's jersey retirement. They were here for most of the first half, and he was just at that point in time talking about what a great environment it was. And, you know, obviously a lot of folks have had the opportunity to see it. It's a lot about the students. It's a lot about the success. Completely filling the building, and that's one of the things that we're really looking toward as we think about the football stadium, is that home court, home field advantage that we're now going to get, you know, that we've never had in football before, because it's going to be such a dynamic building. You know, I think, you know, touring with somebody recently, they talked about how steep the seating bowl seems to be and how it kind of goes directly up. So it's really going to be in an intimate building, and it's going to be on top of you. So we're hoping to, you know, replicate a lot of things out of Viejas in the new building.
All right. And by the way, those with a really, really keen eye have said that they noticed something different about the court at Viejas, JD. Can you share details with us?
Yeah, we redid the court over the off season. The SD logo in the middle is larger. Steve Fisher Court, we use Steve's signature to honor him, where it says Steve Fisher Court. And it's a little bit of a cleaner look. So we're excited to have a little something different. And, you know, when people are flipping through on their TV, they'll see that mid-court logo and they'll know who they're watching.
All right. John David Wicker joining us on Extra 1360. JD, at some point today, it will be official if it hasn't become already. And forgive me if it has. But another step towards opening up Aztec Stadium is that you will share with the public what pricing is going to look like for season ticket purchase, which I think is going to open up in January. Can you give us some details here on what Aztec fans, people who might be interested in attending games at Aztec Stadium starting in 2022, what's on the table at some point today?
Yeah, we will. There'll be a press release and then a stadium diagram with the pricing for the rest of the seating in the building. Obviously, we've been selling premium for a while now. But we started actually last week with Aztec Club members, and we'll continue working with our Aztec Club members and then folks that have, you know, signed up for the insiders list on AztecStadium.com. We'll have opportunities to purchase tickets in the new building through the end of this year, and then, you know, early next year we'll open it up to the general public to come in and, you know, purchase seats, so everybody will have an idea of, you know, what it looks like, what the pricing is. And so far we've had, you know, very good feedback. You know, people I think were a little nervous when they saw what the premium pricing was, that they might be priced out, but we think we've really hit the mark that, you know, there's going to be a seat for, you know, everyone in the building that, that wants to attend. And again, it's such an intimate building, a tight building. There's really not a bad seat in the house.
Seven games, right, for 2022, and people can start checking out that pricing. Could you give us, on top of your head, you know, you mentioned that people might have seen a little sticker shock from some of the premium seatings, but what are we talking about? What kind of range are we talking about for season ticket, for people who are interested in season tickets?
Right now it's, you know, the lowest price ticket is going to be $250, you know, dollars a year. The first year we do have a stadium excellence gift that we're including, so that's a capital acquisition gift. It's going purely for the financing of the stadium, so that's going to be payable over, you know, up to 3 years. As you talk about that $250 ticket, it's $100 capital acquisition cost, so $350 in year one, and then after that it's $250, and that's, you know, all the way up to our, you know, best 50-yard line seat that's not premium is, you know, a $1,500 annual ticket price, but it's a great seat, and there's you know, pricing all the way in between as you look at the stadium. So we're excited about what we're putting out, and we think there'll be, you know, there's an opportunity for everyone who wants to come into the building.
And for those that, you know, need a little bit more than just the chart, you know, I took a peek at the chart and joked earlier that I'm colorblind, so it was very confusing for me. It really wasn't that confusing at all. But for people who would look at it and go, like, they might remember opening up Petco Park, and they might be able to go and have seen it, or, you know, had some enhanced experience beyond just looking at something off a screen or off a piece of paper. JD, is that sort of stuff going to be made available for people who are more interested than just looking at it on the surface?
Yeah, absolutely. From the beginning of this process, we knew that we wanted every seat buyer to have a personal interaction. We did not want to make this, you know, just a transaction. So that's why we built and opened the Experience Center, which, you know, you've had the opportunity to tour. So every person who buys a ticket will have the opportunity to go through the Experience Center, get the full tour, sit down in the, you know, the mock-up of the suite and look at the 3D seat viewer and pick out whatever seat they want in the building, so that they can truly understand, you know, what they're purchasing, what all the amenities are going to be in the building, and, you know, again, create that personal interaction, that personal touch, is they purchase a seat. So we want to make sure everyone's as well informed as they possibly can be. So our Aztec Club members are going to have the opportunity in the coming months. You know, we'll reach out to them. We'll send them information. They can set up a time to come in. And anyone who's not an Aztec Club member now can become one. Starts as low as $100 a year to become an Aztec Club member. And you can, you know, jump the line, if you will.
So if I want to buy tickets, but I don't want to wait until January, I become a club member, and then I'll be able to purchase season tickets here before everybody else who's waiting until January. Do I have that right?
That is, Yep, that's correct. You can either go to GoAztecs.com or AztecStadium.com to get that information and become an Aztec Club member. And, you know, there's benefits to that, and it gets you in earlier to purchase tickets for the stadium.
All right. All right. That's good info. Did we get it all? Did we hit it all? I think we did.
Yep, I think we got it.
Hey, how's that SEC scheduling thing coming along?
No progress since the last time we talked, but you know, the SEC has a couple things to figure out on some scheduling pieces, and then we'll hopefully wrap it up right after that.
Somebody after you were on last time said, "Well, he wouldn't schedule his alma mater, would he? You went to Mississippi State. You wouldn't do that, would you? That wouldn't be any fun."
I will schedule pretty much anybody right now, outside of maybe, you know, I don't know that I'd want to schedule Georgia right now, but knowing it would be 9 to 10 years out, you never know what Georgia's going to be then. But I don't think I want any part of Georgia this year.
All right,
until
fair.
The national championship game. That is.
I know, my goodness. They look like they would do okay in an NFL division as well. JD, continued success. Good luck Friday night. We thank you very much for all the information.
All right, I appreciate the time, and go Aztecs.
You got it. J.D. Wicker, stopping by. John David Wicker, Athletic Director, San Diego State. As I said, I've been to Bank of California Stadium a bunch of times. I love that place. First time going to Q2 Stadium in Austin. Love that place. Wasn't taking a tour just to look at some of the Gensler properties to make sure that they were hiring the right architecture design firm. But if it's going to be like that, that's really, really good news. Then you really will enjoy it because they crushed those two buildings. I will tell you, two of the better places I've seen a sporting event in the last decade. All right.
30th through October 20th.
Marty will just randomly say several times throughout the afternoon, she'll just go, whoa. And you're like, what? Something happening? Something breaking? You okay? Are you injured? Is there news? And then you say, well, what? And she goes, oh, nothing.
Oh, I wasn't talking to you.
But there's nobody else here.
Who are you talking to?
You literally just said, whoa. I turned and went, what? It's been that kind of explosive week when it comes to news, man. Careers are ending all across the NFL. You go, whoa. I go, say what?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's Wednesday. A lot going on, Darren.
Oh, nothing.
There's just a lot going on.
Oh, nothing.
That's all. That's it. Busy. Yeah.
You can text us 70470, first word of the text, XTRA.
Right.
It's whoa. Coming up at the top of the hour. Whoa.
What? Nothing.
Huh? Ken Belson will join us. He's a reporter with the New York Times.
I mean, that is a piece that ended John Gruden.
It ended
John Gruden. In
Friday Wall Street Journal probably doesn't end John Gruden.
No.
Monday
no.
New York Times ends gone. John Gruden.
Yeah.
Ended him. Yesterday LA Times has not ended Adam Schefter.
No, I'm not even sure Adam Schefter's aware of that report. He's just
tweeting through it.
Christian McCaffrey's 50% go for Sunday.
Yeah, not even going to address it. What are you talking about? What LA Times report? Don't know what you're referencing there. I'm Adam Schefter. It just goes to show the NFL machine is so powerful. It's so big and it's so powerful.
It's not done.
It's disturbing, actually, how big and powerful it is.
I know.
And it's too big and it's too powerful. But that's just from where I sit. That you could have a reporter who seeks out approval from a league executive about a story and then says to him, okay, thank you, Mr. Editor. Is there anything I should add or subtract or correct or update in this story? Like, I don't consider this journalism what it is that we do. And there are times where you and I, we do talk to people.
Right.
And we do pick up information. I mean, full disclosure, you know, there wasn't a surprise to us that John David Wicker was coming on today to talk about the Aztec seating chart, okay? But you don't pass something like that in front of a league executive when you're trying to report on what's going on in a collective bargaining agreement during a lockout.
That was remarkable. I was not expecting that. Like, I am more surprised by that than I was anything with John Gruden for whatever reason, for Schefter. Because didn't Schefter come from the, did he come from the Washington Post? Or no, Denver Post.
Denver Post. Via NFL Network.
Still.
I wasn't that. You were?
I did a little bit, yeah.
That unbiased and uncompromised. I always thought he was.
You're gonna have bias towards the Broncos and the teams that you were, you know, that you were a beat reporter for. I kind of get that because you establish these relationships, but in that role at ESPN, yeah, I'm a little bit surprised.
But NFL actually, has right had now, his thumb on ESPN for a long time.
Nothing should surprise me at this point.
From playmakers to some of the hiring decisions that ESPN has made. Anytime they didn't like it, they would say, well, we're going to give you a crappy slate of schedule for Monday Night Football. They did that. They punished ESPN because they didn't like playmakers. They gave them a bunch of crappy games out of the AFC South. They gave them Jaguars and Titans every week. Until ESPN cleaned it up and started doing the NFL's bidding, which is exactly what it does. So I don't know that it surprised me all that much. And that is, it's not to the level of the NFL Network, but even the NFL Network, some of those guys have leeway to say and do things. And it doesn't feel that way at ESPN, which pays a fortune for the NFL and still is subservient to this league. It's just insane. Should we get to our best bets of the day? Are you guys ready?
Sure.
Let's get to our best bets of the day.
Best bets brought to you by Valley View Casino and Hotel, San Diego's favorite.
Jim, you loved your best bet yesterday.
Yeah, that was a good one. I thought that was a good one. Today, it's okay. My best bet is that at least one of us will write down the correct name for the next manager hire for the Padres.
It's a good one.
Looking at me?
Yes.
Okay, my best bet is that they will know that ESPN will not have a 30 for 30 on the John Gruden situation. Because if they do, they will have to somehow include Adam Schefter. Because this story, again, like I said yesterday, is just beginning. It's not just going to take down John Gruden. It's not just going to go ahead and implement Adam Schefter. This is just beginning. The New York Times got something. LA Times, Sam Farmer, Nathan Fenno, they've got it. There are more scoops and leaks coming in the coming days.
Yeah, you don't.
Spiderweb is big.
We haven't heard the last of the 650,000 emails.
No.
That are currently in possession of Roger Goodell.
How?
Is that what we understand? That he has 650,000 emails, and whenever it is that he feels like it, he could just leak it out there to the LA Times, leak it out there to the Wall Street Journal, leak out whatever he wants to leak out, whatever compromising email he stumbles across. That is crazy. My best bet is that 2:20 today, Marty's going to write the name Ron Washington on a piece of paper, put it in an envelope.
Yeah.
Ron Washington will join us coming up in hour number three. Best bets of the day brought to you by Valley View Casino and Hotel. You want a best bet? Join the Players Club at Valley View Casino and Hotel. When we come back, he was co-author of the piece in the New York Times, which ended John Gruden. Ken Belson.